Hello, friend. I'm Ron Jones with Something Good Radio. Today's message is coming your way next, but before I get started, I just want to thank you for all you're doing to help me share the good news of Jesus Christ through this gospel media ministry. Your prayers and financial support make sure these messages can be heard all year round, all over the world. As you may know, December is always a critical time for the ministry. But it's also a time when a lot of people are looking for answers that only Jesus can give them. And when they go looking, Something Good Radio is one of the places they come. For that reason, and because we are 100% listener-supported, I'm asking you to prayerfully consider sending a generous year-end gift to Something Good by December 31st. Brian will share the details with you at the end of today's message, or you can make your gift right now at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Or call our offices at 757-276-1099. From all of us here at Something Good Radio, Merry Christmas to you and your family, and may God bless you during the coming year.
The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But what does that really mean? Hello, and welcome to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Crossway Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for stopping by. Well, the truth is, Jesus had no beginning, and he will have no end. He always was and forever will be. Ron unpacks this idea for us next as he continues his teaching series, Knowing God by His Christmas Names. Come see us at somethinggoodradio.org to listen to the broadcast on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Listen and subscribe to the podcast at Spotify or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Now, here's Ron with part two of his Something Good Radio message, Everlasting Father.
But the angel warned Joseph. And Joseph, who stepped into that earthly role as a father to Jesus, protected them. I picture him waking, Mary and baby Jesus up in the middle of the night saying, "We gotta go. We gotta flee to Egypt." And they did. Never doubt the Everlasting Father's ability or his desire to protect you, child of God. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." So our Everlasting Father, he provides for his children. He protects his children, as any good father would do. And thirdly, we might say that our Everlasting Father prays for his children. Consider the intercessory prayer ministry of Jesus, which we don't often talk about, but let's just start in his earthly ministry. He prayed for his disciples and us in John chapter 17. Are you familiar with that? I call it the real Lord's Prayer. There was a model prayer by which he taught his disciples to pray. We call that the Lord's Prayer. But John chapter 17 comes at the tail end of a section of scripture known as the Upper Room Discourse. The time when Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room just hours before the crucifixion. And amidst the intimate conversation they had together and the teaching that Jesus did and the Passover meal that they enjoyed together, Jesus prayed for his disciples. And if you read that prayer, John chapter 17, carefully, he prayed for his disciples then and us, all who would come to faith in Christ. And it is a magnificent prayer. He prayed for us. Intercessory prayer is prayer on behalf of somebody else. Do you ever get there in your prayer life? Fathers, grandfathers, do you pray for your kids and your grandkids? There's perhaps nothing better that we can do for them. And sometimes that's all we can do for them, is to pray for them. Well, Jesus, who is our everlasting Father, he provides for his kids, he protects his kids, he prays for his children. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 32, Jesus said to Peter, "But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail." And then the Bible goes on to tell us that Jesus intercedes for us from his exalted throne in heaven when he ascended back to the Father. You know what he's doing in heaven right now as he sits on the throne next to his Father? He's praying for us. Now let that thought and that image just kind of settle into your Christmas memory a little bit. His name shall be called Everlasting Father, and my Everlasting Father is praying for me right now. He's praying for you, maybe that your faith would not fail. That those conflicted emotions you have at Christmas time would not get the best of you. He's praying for you right now. Now let's flip it around. Let's now talk about our Everlasting Father. And let me take us into some cultural imagery I think we can all identify with. You know, this Christmas, children around the world will receive gifts that require batteries to power the toys. Boy, do I remember this when our kids were young. We had a little thing in our family where we said, Santa doesn't assemble, especially at 2 a.m. But my wife was probably the one that made sure that all those toys, that made sure that Santa delivered batteries for the toys. And you have a number of batteries you can choose from. I won't name all the brands, but the Ever Ready Battery Company wants you to buy their batteries. And they have a mascot, an icon, known as the Energizer Bunny, that kind of encourages us to buy those batteries that keep going and going and going. One advertising expert writes about this cultural icon. This bright pink stuffed bunny has been traveling across our television screens, drum in hand, showing us the everlasting power of Energizer Ever Ready batteries. I'm sounding like a commercial this morning, aren't I? Likewise, the campaign and its icon have created an everlasting presence in popular culture, and it has. You almost associate the everlasting Energizer Bunny with Christmas and Christmas toys. Well, longer lasting than everlasting batteries, and the Energizer Bunny is our everlasting Father. Say that with me. Everlasting Father. He's not just a father to us who provides for his children and protects his children and prays for his children. And we can make the list even longer, perhaps. But he is an everlasting Father. What does it mean that Jesus is our everlasting Father? Well, to answer that question, we got to return to the deep end of theology. We started in culture, we went into the deep end of theology, we've come up for a little practical orthodoxy and what it means to us personally at Christmas. Now, to understand the everlasting part, we got to go into the deep end of theology a little bit more. First of all, our everlasting Father means that he's pre-existent. He's pre-existent. Now, what does that mean? Well, the first four words of the Bible introduce us to God's everlasting, eternal, pre-existent nature. In the beginning, God. Well, in the beginning of what? The beginning of what you and I, as time-bound creatures, mark as time. The beginning of time. Physicists, people with brilliant minds, have tried to understand the nature of time. But the Bible says, in the beginning. Well, let's just go one nanosecond earlier. In the beginning, God, meaning one nanosecond and a whole lot of eternity earlier, God existed. I try to wrap your mind around that this Christmas. The everlasting nature, the eternality of God. The Apostle John starts his gospel with a flashback to Genesis. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And we'll get to that Christmas name, the Logos, the Word, the Logos who became flesh and dwelt among us. John just wants us to know, right off the bat, when he introduces Jesus Christ to his first century audience, that this Word, the Logos, was pre-existent. He's eternal. He's everlasting. He never had a beginning. I can't wrap my mind around that. I have to accept it by faith, because this is how God reveals himself to us. He never had a beginning, He'll never have an end. Before the beginning that marks time and history for human beings, God was there and always has been there. And before he spoke the worlds into existence and made us in his image, male and female, God existed eternally. Now again, deep end of theology, our finite minds have a difficult time grasping that. And so did King David, but King David was writing Psalm chapter 90 under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. King David tried as best as he could in his finite mind to unscramble the inscrutable, and he wrote these words, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." David's finite mind stretched as far as it could in both directions, from everlasting to everlasting. We might say to infinity and beyond. He just tried to get his mind around all of this. The fact that our everlasting God has always existed is part of what makes him God. And part of what makes him worthy of our worship this Christmas. If he was just another human being like you and me that had a beginning in Bethlehem and an ending on Mount Calvary, why worship him? But no, his name shall be called not just Father, but Everlasting Father. There is no other Father like him who is a fatherly son to us. And because he will never not exist, we can trust him to always be there for his children. He keeps going and going and going, just like and even better than the Energizer Bunny.
We'll return to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones in just a moment. Listen on demand to any of Ron's messages at somethinggoodradio.org. While you're there, be sure to check out our digital library, where you'll find more than 500 hours of video and audio teaching from Dr. Ron Jones. Search the streaming library by scripture or topic for answers to some of your most challenging questions. That's the digital library at somethinggoodradio.org. Do you ever wonder if God really hears your prayers? Why do some prayers get answered in miraculous ways while others are seemingly ignored? Is there a correct way to pray? How prayer works is one of the great mysteries of the Christian life, but there is no doubt that God invites us to approach him in prayer. Dr. Ron Jones addresses these and other questions about prayer in his book, The Jesus Way to Pray, an intimate journey through the Lord's Prayer, available now at somethinggoodradio.org. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a 2-pack for $50, a 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099. Or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23456. Now let's get back to Ron for the rest of today's Something Good radio message, Everlasting Father.
Now perhaps the concept of an everlasting father is foreign to you because your earthly father abandoned you. You don't have anything close to an everlasting father. Or maybe he was aloof or distant or seemingly uncaring. You never have to worry about that with Jesus because he has promised he will never leave you and he will never, ever forsake you. He'll never stop being your everlasting father. And when I was in high school, my parents divorced, and that's a that's an emotional explosion in any child's life, in any family. But I've told this story before, but I didn't come to realize the full impact of that on my life until I was in my early to mid-20s. And I was living in Houston, Texas at the time and having lunch with a friend of mine who was working on his master's degree in psychology at the University of Houston. And I don't know how he got onto the subject. I don't know, he was writing some paper, but he dropped into the conversation the idea that children of divorced parents often fear that somebody is going to leave them, abandon them. And that was like a bolt of lightning that hit my heart at that moment and explained this underlying fear that I had in relationships and maybe explained why I was still single at the time. I don't know. But it was a starting point for when God began to heal my heart. And you know how he healed my heart? With the truth of his word. Starting in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. Let me take you there real quickly. Moses is speaking to the next generation of Israelites who will cross over the Jordan River under Joshua's leadership, take possession of the promised land. And here's what he says to them. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, their enemies, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. And that idea of the everlasting presence of God our Father echoes throughout Scripture. Same kind of words to Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. Matthew chapter 28, in the Great Commission, Jesus says, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, he says, "Don't be covetous, don't love money, for you know that God will never leave you, he'll never forsake you." John chapter 14 and verse 18, Jesus says, "I will never leave you as orphans." Maybe some of you have an achy, breaky heart this morning because you were dropped off at an orphanage at some age. And you don't know where your parents are. You don't know where your father is. Let me just tell you the good news of Christmas. Jesus will never stop being your everlasting father. He is forever, forever present. Forever meaning he was always there. Even when you didn't even know his name. Even when you wanted nothing to do with him, even when you were, according to the Bible, considered to be an enemy of God, he was always there, always has been there. And he had a plan to leave heaven and come to earth to be near you. We haven't even gotten to the name Emmanuel, God with us, or the Logos, the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Eugene Peterson says he moved into the neighborhood. He wanted a relationship with you and with me so much that he moved closer to us. He, our Father, initiated the relationship. A relationship we wanted nothing to do with. But he moved in. He came closer to us. And he's always been there. He's always been pursuing you. And now more than ever, he is. And when you invite him in by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our everlasting Father, he will never leave you. He will never abandon you. He will never say, I'm out of here. He's an everlasting Father. This isn't an easy one, right? No, there's a lot to this name, everlasting Father. There are cultural implications we need to deal with today. There are theological implications. But to bring it home, you know, to get down to the getting down, as a friend of mine used to always say, he's an everlasting Father who provides for his kids, protects his kids, prays for his kids passionately and persistently. And he's an everlasting Father who keeps going and going and going. And even when we spit in his face, even when life becomes so confusing and so unbearable that we don't understand, you know, what God is doing at the time, and we say, "I'm done with this," he doesn't give up on us. He doesn't say, "Fine, just go." No, he moves closer to us. You know, the Bible says, "Draw near unto God and he will draw near unto you." But here's the reality. He made the first move. He came at Christmas time. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. We'll get to that. He is the Word that became flesh and dwelled and tabernacled among us. He moved into our neighborhood. He moved in right next door so he could have a relationship with you. He got that close. And he will never, ever, ever stop offering to some a father like you've always dreamed of, and maybe never had. And once you receive him by faith, he will never stop being that everlasting Father to you, even this Christmas.
Thanks so much for being with us for today's Something Good radio message, Everlasting Father. I'm pleased to welcome in Dr. Ron Jones. Ron, I'm sure we have listeners out there who have some deep wounds from their past, scars left by a father who was abusive or absent, or who maybe never quite handled the responsibility of fatherhood the way he should have. What would you say to anyone listening right now who is struggling to overcome that painful past and maybe even struggling to forgive?
Brian, my first thought is that we have a lot of great fathers out there, human and fallen for sure, but fathers who do their best and ultimately, with the Lord's help, do a wonderful job. But let's face it, Satan has waged war against the family unit. Divorce is at an all-time high. Fathers are more absent than ever before, not to mention those who have stayed around but are abusive in some way, violent or detached or overly critical or demanding. Many fathers, even those who try their best, are troubled in ways of their own, to the point where they set a bad example through maybe alcoholism or drug addiction or adultery. All of these things have a negative effect on the family, especially the children. And it's not just fathers, Brian. It's humanity itself. We have a sin problem, and we've had it almost since the beginning. But I want to say something to anyone listening right now. If you have father issues, if your father was absent or violent, if he wounded you in some way, if he stayed too long or if he died too soon, please listen to what I'm about to say. Your father is a steward, not an owner. He's not the one who gave you life, ultimately. No, that came from God. That life you have came from God, which means God is your father, and you are at least his child by creation. You belong to him. So you no longer have to look at life as having been lived without a father or lived with a flawed father or with a father who abused you or let you down in some way. No, see God as your heavenly Father, most certainly by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing that truth will set you free in a way that you can let go of the pain that you feel, the void that you've always thought you had, and put you in a place where you can cry out to your Father in heaven. I urge you, let go of that pain in the name of Jesus. Allow your everlasting Father to do what you always wanted him to do, to love you unconditionally, to protect you and provide for you and to lead you into all truth. Once you do that, then you will be able to honor your earthly father and, if necessary, to forgive him, no matter how good or bad he was in that role. Do that, and the joy of your everlasting Father will come into your life like never before.
Such a great word of encouragement, Pastor, one that will resonate with many of our listeners. And now, as we wrap things up on today's broadcast, how about telling us something about our next one?
Well, Brian, I'm really looking forward to this next message. You know, the world has almost always cried out for peace. Every generation, people from every nation, every tongue, every religion, we've all desired peace in what is sadly an unpeaceful world. But one of the names of Jesus is Prince of Peace, and with him, peace actually is possible, at least at the individual level, to be at peace with God and at peace in one's heart. And one day we will have corporate peace for all of eternity. As I continue my series, Knowing God by His Christmas Names, I will dive into that subject next time because the Prince of Peace is here this Christmas to give us a peace that passes all understanding.
That's next time when Dr. Ron Jones shares his message, Prince of Peace. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.